of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? And then our New Testament lesson from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, and then picking up again at 16. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because they're many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. But do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Wondrous and gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunities of Lent, for the chance to grow closer to you, the chance to take time and make ready for the gift that is the resurrection, for the journey that is ahead. We ask that your word would guide us through this time of Lent, that your word would lead us, lift us up, and help us through this journey. Gracious God, open our hearts and minds to your word today and every day. Amen. do this and don't do this. It's a little difficult at times to not look at these instructions and not glaze over a little bit, because they are very intricate. And they don't deal with small parts and pieces of our faith. They deal with important parts. Jesus is giving us spiritual practice instructions, functionality for how we are to be God's people. And since they are separate parts or separate practices, we take them all on their own. But the individual practices are just a part of a singular part, which is improving our faith. On Sunday, I was struck by the realization of practices as they pertain to our faith. As I watched Liam and a group of similar aged boys run around in their lacrosse gear, I realized how much they had improved over these last 6 weeks that they've been getting together. Each week they would practice, and each week they'd be a little more fluid, a little less like, well, teaching a kid to drive with all the herky-jerky of the car. Sometimes it was harder to see the improvement. It was harder to see that fluidity. But there were elements where you could see them move. Not quite as graceful as dancers on a stage. Not even close. As you hear a bang of somebody getting run into the boards. They weren't playing perfect lacrosse, but they were practicing. The idea of practice came to mind. Because that is what we talk about our faith. We don't talk about perfecting our faith. We talk about practicing our faith. About the improvement, the day in and day out growing and growth that we have. When we read what Jesus has to say, he's coaching us. He's teaching us. He's leading us ahead like a life coach or even a sports coach might. He's helping us to get better. His goal isn't to critique or damage us, but so that we can be better at our faith. He wants us to improve, to not be perfect. Because he knows that we are not. It's hard when we hear those words that we can always be better and do better. It's harder even more to, after we've tried hard, to be asked to try harder. Do more? What do you mean? There's often an inevitable pushback to this. I'm where I should be. I don't need to get better. I don't need to grow more. But as we hear Christ talk, we understand that there's always going to be space for us to improve our faith. It's not easy, though, to live in that perpetual place of growth. We like to be finished, to complete something, to put a bow on it and put it aside. But our faith is not something that's like that. It is continually growing. It's like a tree. It doesn't stop growing as long as we nourish and nurture it. And like any good coach, Jesus desires for us to grow as best we can. He sees who we can be in our faith. And the driving force behind all of the practices of faith that he brings to us. Each one has a negative practice of faith, and each one has a good example, a good practice of faith. He tells us how and how not to give alms, how and how not to pray, how and how not to fast. The negative suggestions or incorrect practices all have that common thread in them of self-serving and selfish faith. When you fast and you are doing it the wrong way, you're doing it so that others can see you and others can praise you for being so devout. But if you're fasting and you're praying and you're showing your piety, what does it benefit you if it doesn't bring glory to God? And that's why we do these things. That's why we practice our faith, is that so that we can grow closer to God, so that we can grow and be better at our faith with God. But our coach wants us not to worry or to have others see, because it's not about what others see. It's about what God sees. It's not about what God can't see, because God sees all. God sees all that we do, all those ways we nourish and nurture our faith. As we set out on this Lenten journey of ours, we need to remember that it is our faith that we are growing. We need to have this reminder that as we go forth, we need to nourish our faith. We need to grow our faith. Lent is an opportunity. It's not a season. It's an opportunity for us to engage our faith actively, to engage with God actively. It's a chance for us to take a special, particular time to grow. However we choose to grow, whether, as I said before, it's fasting or it's adding. If it's taking a spiritual practice that we're unfamiliar with and we don't do it well, guess what? We did something. And the next time we try that prayer, next time we try that practice, we can get better. We can be better. We can grow and deepen our faith. We're practicing every Lent. And practice, it might make perfect eventually, but we're not in that business. We're in the business of growing. So brothers and sisters, let us embrace the challenge of Lent. Embrace the opportunity to grow, to further our relationship with God. Amen.